Good morning. It is good to see all of you here this morning, and as always, it's always great to gather together with fellow believers for our worship service this morning, so we're glad to see all of you here. If we do have any guests with us this morning, we do say a special welcome to you, and hope you can join us another time, anytime. I do have several announcements I want to go over with you this morning before we start our service. First of all, I do want to start by wishing very special happy 13th birthday to Miss Ireland Welch this morning. So if you see Ireland, wish her a happy birthday this morning. I saw her in the hallway. I don't see her in here this morning. I won't draw attention to her, any more attention to her than I already have. But we do say happy birthday to Ireland. Also, I did speak Pastor Bobby, who did our revival services this past week, asked me to mention that if anybody would be interested in running in the Barano 5K, that'll be next Saturday, May the 2nd. They'll start at 8:30. That's something they do each year, I believe, for a fundraiser at their church. And if anybody's interested in doing that, I believe you can sign up. Well, I don't know exactly how you can sign up. I know one way, a couple of ways. I believe you can try if you're on Facebook. I believe you can get in contact with Carrie Chandler, and she can get you signed up, ready to go for that. And if you can't get in contact with her, Ashley George said that I could mention your name, and y'all can get in contact with Ashley, and she'll get in contact with Carrie to get you signed up if that's something you're interested in. Thirdly, I'm going to let Dr. Blank, he said he had something he'd like to mention.
Yes, again, we don't remind you about the faith promise. This is the last Sunday to give for the month of April. And according to our treasurer's report, this last Sunday, we had about $2,300 that has come in. We're needing near $6,000. So perhaps some of you just didn't get it put in yet. Please do so this morning. If you don't have it with you this morning, you can bring it this evening when you come out to hear the college musical ensemble group. But if you do bring it tonight, be sure you earmark it clearly, Faith Promise. Or be sure to maybe put it in an envelope, because we will be receiving a free will offering for the college as the ministry team is coming to share tonight with us. Don't miss that service tonight at 6 o'clock. Your heart will be blessed by testimony and song. But again, if you have not given your faith promise this month, things being busy during the month, you failed to get it in either this morning or tonight. If you don't get it in tonight, just make sure Ed Thigpen has it by Wednesday. At that point. So we appreciate, again, your taking care of this particular matter. We don't want to cut back on our missionaries' monthly support any time at all. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Blank. I do have two other things to mention. One is just a reminder to all men, tomorrow night is our Cartwright Men's Fellowship Supper, and we hope to see all of you out and invite anybody that you'd like to invite to come join us. I believe we will be having fish stew and fried fish tomorrow night. Also, tomorrow we will be, and we mentioned this last week, I believe, but we will be showing a video that we use in our men's group that meets on Wednesday morning and Tuesday nights. Tomorrow night we will show that video, but we would still like for all to come, and maybe you see that, maybe you like to be a part of those groups moving forward. So do make plans to attend that. If you can, and also to those who are part of those two groups, we will also meet Wednesday morning. The Wednesday morning group will meet this week on Wednesday morning, but the Tuesday night group will meet Thursday night at 7:30. Is that correct? 7:30, okay. Wednesday morning group, still Wednesday morning. Tuesday night group will move to Thursday this week. So if you're part of those groups, just make plans to attend that. And also, it is in your bulletin on the right side. It was not down here this morning, but we do have a church conference directly following our service this morning. Were there any other announcements that need to be made this morning from the congregation? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share? If not, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are grateful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us and caring for us and providing for us throughout the week and for bringing us here safely together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to be here and the blessing it is just to be able to gather together with fellow believers to lift up your name and to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time. Help us to put aside all distractions and to focus completely in on you. And through what we sing and what we say and what is preached here this morning, I pray that you would receive honor and glory. And that through what is done and said, we will be drawn closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you who are able to be here during the five sessions of our revival service, we can certainly say God was in our presence. God was in our midst. You may have had to miss for some reason or other. Revival has begun. But folks, when Bobby left here to go back to Barano, if he carried a revival back with him, it'll do us no good. Let's pray that God will keep a revival fire of love and unity and purpose in our hearts as we go forward for his glory. With that, we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn it together with the call to worship, rather, first of all, the bond of love, followed by hymn number 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Let us stand together, bond of love, both verses, singing with the joy of Christ in your heart. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, joining together as we sing.
There's standing greeters around,
hey,
wishing God's blessing.
Just a couple of things we want to announce as far as our prayer concerns. First of all, received word just this morning that Mildred Dukes is in Clarendon Hospital with congestive heart failure. Taken in, I believe, yesterday was, I think, the word that was given to me. So please remember Miss Mildred in your prayers. Also, very quickly, a group got together and called today Stand for Marriage Sunday. And that was brought to my attention. And because this week the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case that may, either for the good or for the bad, affect the way our country moves forward in our understanding, at least from a legal perspective, of what marriage is or should be. And so there was a call that has gone out for churches to remember to be in prayer for the Supreme Court, for the justices, as they hear the case and as they then make their decisions. In the bulletin, it says, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. You just got to love grace. Lord, we thank you for a grace that truly is bigger and beyond our ability to understand. Lord, greater than the depth of our sin is your grace. And so we plead grace this morning. We ask for grace. We come knowing that we don't deserve your blessing. We don't deserve your forgiveness. But Lord, we ask for your grace. And we know that through that grace that you're going to pour out your love and your forgiveness and your calling upon our lives. And for that we rejoice. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, for the Supreme Court and for the justices as they hear a case this very week. We're asking that you would anoint them with wisdom and with the courage to do the right thing. And Lord, as your people, as a created people, we don't get to decide what's right or what's wrong. That's up to you. And so we pray that they will decide this case based on your understanding and your definition of marriage. And Lord, especially we pray for those in our bulletin and those that have been mentioned that require a special touch this morning, need to be assured that you're right there with them, that your grace not only forgives us, but your grace sustains us, that your grace can heal us. And so we pray for healing for those that have been mentioned in our bulletin. Again, Lord, we just come and we rejoice that we get to sing praises to you. We get to bring our prayers to you. We need to open your word and hear you speak to us. So, Lord, what a good day it is to be a part of your people. What a good day it is, Lord, to simply be together and to worship you. Lord, indeed, may we open our hearts, sacrifice all that we are, give ourselves to you, that you might have complete freedom to work within us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful and thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace that you've shown us. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins that we have and the freedom that we have, all because of what you've done for us. We truly are blessed, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've given us and blessed us with. And I pray now as we give this portion back that you would take it, that you would use it for your honor, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.
As we sing the next hymn, number 493, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers with their place of worship. And then following this and before the pastor's message, Brother Mark will be coming in, sharing a special, and pray for him as he shares the testimony and song. Number 493, It Is Well With My Soul. Let us stand together as we sing. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, singing together. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
Remember me in a Bible cracked and faded by the years. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer. And age to the colors of the sunset fill the sky. Remember me when you pray and tears of joy fall from your eyes.
And age
to age and heart to heart, bound by grace. Remember me when the children leave their Sunday school with smiles. Remember me when they're old enough to teach, old enough to preach, old enough to leave, and age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace, child of wonder, child of God, I've remembered you.
We're going back to the book of Deuteronomy this morning, and really, that's kind of the theme of Deuteronomy, isn't it? We said a couple of weeks ago that the Deuteronomy was kind of like Moses simply reminded him, remember who you are, and to remember who we are, we've got to remember who God is. We've got to remember that it's God and His movement. That's who defines us as who we are. So Moses said, don't forget who you are. And he took them back to Mount Sinai. earlier, a couple of weeks ago, he said, remember what happened there. Because that was something that was significant and that changed the course of their future. Now we don't go back to Mount Sinai as Christians this morning. We go back to Mount Calvary. And though our history indeed does go back to a tabernacle, more importantly, our history revolves around a cross. We're God's people because of Jesus. We're God's people because he sent his only begotten son. And it's true that Jesus died, and somehow in that death, he did take all of our sins, each and every one of them. He took them all, and indeed, he took them all, not in part, but the whole. But it's also true, he's alive. And those words are great words, and they're wonderful words, and they're powerful words, and they're life-changing words. Moses said, remember who you are, because that will change the way that you live. Part of what we're going to read this morning, however, is, well, it's part of Moses' goodbye to the people. You see, he knew, God had told him very upfront that he wasn't going to be able to cross over and go into the promised land with them. So Moses began to tell them goodbye. Now, he had lived with them. He had fought with them. He had interceded for them. He had disciplined them. He had done a lot with them. I mean, they had lived together, and he had encouraged them, and he warned them. In fact, if you go up just a few verses before our text in chapter 30, Moses set before them curses and blessings, life and death. And for Moses, the future, really, it was easy. Their relationship with God, whether they experienced the blessings and life or whether they experienced the curses and death, all came down to one word. Obedience. Obedience. And so with the incoming fast, Moses understood that the Hebrews had a huge moment that was right in front of them. They had to make a decision about whether they were going to go forward or whether they were just simply going to continue to let life go as it had been going for the last 40 years. Now, this was a second chance for them. Understand that. God had given the green light once before to go into the promised land. And when God said go, they said no. And we know what disobedience brought. It brought 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and a lot of death. And now they're getting a second opportunity. And Moses said, don't blow it this time. Don't discard what God has done for you. Even though it's risky, and man, was it risky to go forward. Think about it. I mean, there's a bunch of people in there. And it's not like they're just going to move out and let them move in. If they're going to go forward, it's going to mean a fight. But more than that, it would mean changing. It was going to mean changing, doing life the way that they had done it for the last 40 years, and change is always hard. But Moses gave them the formula, by the way, of how to go forward and how to be courageous. Chapter 31, verse 1. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. And here's the punchline. Here's the good part. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The relevance of what Moses said to them, I believe God tells us to embrace today. Now, it's not about Amorites, I understand that. But it takes courage for us to go forward and to be the people that God wants us to be. Now, the circumstance is completely different. But we need courage to do what God wants us to do as his church. Emphasis on his here. All right? It's not our grandparents' church. It's not our parents' church. It's not our church. We've got some great plaques right on the wall in this vestibule over here. And there's a lot of great names that are listed on, but it's none of their church. There's only one name on those plaques that bears us praising, and it says, dedicated to the glory of God. It's God's church. Christ died for the church. None of them. I won't die for the church. It's his church. Different battles, but same courage. It'll take the same God-instilled courage that was available to those that whose names appear on them. Aren't you glad they paid the price? They made the sacrifice. I mean, we look around and we say, wow, look at all that they were able to accomplish. They simply had courage to be obedient. And that's what we all need, courage to be obedient. Whether we're Christians, missionaries, or churches, we simply need the courage to be obedient, and that is always a God-given thing. Because God's courage will allow us the ability to face the future, the uncertainty, the tragedies, the challenges, the dangers, and the hardships with an understanding that God is never going to leave us nor forsake us. Moving forward means that we must sell out to God and walk through the doors of opportunities that God wants us to walk through. Courage is a must if we are to live out our faith and follow Jesus. If we dare to embrace this courage and follow Jesus, then we will find the abundant life that Jesus said that he came to give. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly or to the full. You ever wonder if that's why a lot of people that hang around church don't have the abundant life? Maybe we're not following as fully as we ought. Much of Deuteronomy is Moses simply reminding them of everything that God had done. And think about it, it's a long list, isn't it? Man, he talks about the Exodus. And you've seen the movie, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, he talked about the parting of the Red Sea. He talked about Mount Sinai. He talked about how God had given them manna every day for 40 years. He talked about how God had taken care of them and protected them. See, Moses knew that the courage that would be needed for today and tomorrow, see, has a foundation, yes, in the past. In other words, God has done it before, so you can count God's going to do it again. And for us, one of the great reminders that we have today that tells us that God is going to do it again, that God's not going to leave us nor forsake us, is right here before us. This do and remember, this table, and what we do when we come to this table. See, that's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary. It's a reminder that he is alive. It's a reminder he's coming again. It reminds us of even who we are, that we are forgiven, but we are also sent. Yeah, this table reminds us about everything that we need to know in order to have courage to face tomorrow. And my, how God truly has blessed the faithfulness and the courage of those who have come before. Again, we're in a beautiful place worshiping the Lord this morning because of the sacrifices that many have made. And too often I think we take for granted the sacrifices made. But in the end, see, all the sacrifices made, God took them and God blessed it. What God has done, God will continue to do. Look, I'll never be remembered as a great prophet, you know, like Elijah, Isaiah, or any of them. But I'm going to prophesy this morning. The time to stop is not now, and it is not here. It is not now, and it is not here. God is calling us to move forward into a lost and hurting world that desperately needs to know the love of Jesus. And if we as God's people do not take that love to them, they don't get to know it. We are God's delivery system. People, all people matter to God, and if they matter to God, they must matter to us, and if they don't matter to us, then we need to check the connection. Now, I want to be clear this morning. The task of the church is still unfinished as long as there are people who do not know the Lord. And if we're going to put any seriousness to the words that decorate the bulletin, if this is going to be more than a simple decoration of our bulletin, then we're going to have to make some sacrifices, and we're going to need the courage to be obedient to God and walk through the doors of opportunity that he's going to open until the whole world knows, making Christ known. And the world includes Turbyville and Clarendon County and Sumter County and South Carolina and the United States of America and everywhere else. Wherever there are lost people, we make Christ known. And so I want to be clear. We cannot be the kind of church that God wants us to be until we care for and love people the way that God does. And that means to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, we will have to have the courage to be obedient, and we'll have to be open to all people. And it must be more than simply words. And yes, I care about the loss, and I don't care about whether they're caught. By the way, I want to clear this up because there's some confusion. I care about the lost, whether they're Caucasians, African Americans, Hispanics, Oriental, or Arabic. There's been some confusion about that. I care about the lost. And the truth is, I want to reach out to the lost in our community. And I not only want to share the love of Jesus with them, because I believe that the blood still hasn't lost its power. And I believe that when we share the love of Jesus with them, I believe that lives are going to be changed and that some of them people are going to come to Calvary and do what I did and what many of you have done here this morning, going to kneel and confess their sins before God and open their heart to Jesus, and he's going to move into their life. And that's going to be a wonderful day, because that means party in heaven. It should mean party on earth. And yes, I want those people that come to Calvary, regardless of who they are, I want them to come, be able to come to our church and to worship with us. I want them to grow in their faith with us. And I want them, even as God grows them up, to begin to take positions of leadership in our church. I care for the lost, but I'll admit to you this morning, I don't care as much as God does. And so I often pray that God would burden my heart for the lost and give me courage to give more of my life to him, that there might be more room for his love in me. You see, that's just it. One of the great things about Christianity is no one needs to stay the way they are. And for someone to say, well, that's just the way that I am, or that's just the way that I've been raised, that's simply a cop-out. I know that the flesh and the fallen sinful nature is strong, but Jesus Christ is stronger. Amen. And the power of Christ to transform us and change us so that we can give more room to him is simply as we have the courage to be obedient to him. So let me be clear. The church, and we are just one speck of the church, by the way. But the church is unfinished, and the church has much to do. And until the church becomes open and loving and inclusive, we need the courage to be obedient. Because God is calling us to go forward into a lost and hurting world full of people that need the love of Christ. We need God's courage to keep moving forward. We have the responsibility to prepare and even pass along the baton to the next generation. That's part of what Brother Bobby said in his last message with that powerful message. How important it is that we pass along our faith, our love, to the next generation. You know, in a relay race, one of the most critical points is the baton exchange. Won or lost, right there. And so it's going to take courage, yes, for some of the older ones in our church to back away from the power that they have controlled and held on to. And it's going to take some courage by the younger ones to step out and become more committed than you already are. God has done great things. He's still doing great things. And he will continue to do great things until Jesus Christ triumphantly returns. I guess what I'm saying is we need the courage to get on our knees, open our hearts, and follow his leading. Laying our lives, this church, and our ministries before God and be willing to go wherever he leads. The ultimate courage, of course, to go forward doesn't come from the past, but it comes from the point that Moses drove home first in verse 3 and then in verse 6. He said, "The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you." In other words, you just got to follow. And then in verse 6, he said, "Be strong, courageous." You know, he said, "For the Lord God goes with you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you." See, God goes with us. And so when it comes to following, there's really only a couple of choices. We're either going to follow the Lord or we're going to follow somebody else. In other words, the choice really is simply this. We're either going to be obedient or we're going to be disobedient. That's just the way that it is. And I want to follow Jesus because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the moment of truth came for the Hebrews. I mean, there it is. God said, I want you to go ahead and go on into the promise, and I'll be with you. And so the moment of truth came for them. And really, all they needed was the faith to continue to trust God like they had trusted him for the last 40 years. So let me prophesy again. Not here, not now was the first one. There are going to be some difficulties ahead. And there's going to be some challenges ahead. But there are also going to be some wonderful opportunities ahead as we reach out and as we faithfully share the love of Jesus. So let's keep our eyes on the one who goes before us. Let's lose ourselves to God. Let's take the courage to say, here am I, send me. When we courageously follow Christ, it brings glory to God. It takes courage for us to go forward, just like it took courage for the Hebrews to head off into the promised land. It takes courage to be obedient, to confront the forces of evil that are out there. And by the way, if you've not been listening to the news, then my, you know the force of evil is strong, but the force of Christ is more powerful. It will take courage for us to be obedient so that we resist apathy and compromise. The courage to be obedient so that we will serve the Lord with our stuff and our money instead of giving him the leftovers. It takes courage even to confess our mistakes before him. It will take courage to let go of the old and bring in some new. And I know that it's okay to talk about doing that until we get specific, because none of us want to change deep down. I'm just like the rest of you. I don't either. But when God says change so that you can better share my love, we need to be willing, as hard as it is, to make the change. Now, I don't know what today or tomorrow brings, for that matter. And I'm not going to make any prophecies there. But I'm following God, and I'm pretty convinced that he knows what's going to happen. So do we have the courage to be obedient, to go forward? Will we walk into the land of opportunity and promise? If we do, you've got to understand it takes the courage to also enter the land of sacrifice and serving. Will we go all in and all out for the Lord? See, we don't get to tell God, we don't get to tell him where. We don't get to tell him who, and we don't get to tell him how. God simply says, this is who I am, and this is what I want. And then he says, won't you come follow me? That's where we get the opportunity and the choice. We're invited to come along. Do we have the courage? Look, people need the Lord, whether they know it or not. You know, there's a lot of people don't even know they're lost. And it's up to us to go out there and just love them to death. Because when we love them as the Lord has loved us, and when we come together, then all of a sudden they're going to realize they're missing something really important in life. The key is simply this. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, this morning we bow before you, and we believe in you, and we believe in your grace, and we believe in your calling. We believe that you have not only called us, but you send us. And we pray, Lord, that even though we're confronted oftentimes with difficulties and hardships, Lord, may we have the courage to simply be obedient to you. May we have the courage, Lord, to know that you are right there beside us, and may we be willing to follow. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand this morning as we simply sing the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
And as we sing, we trust this will be the prayer of each of us right where we are, saying, Lord, I will follow you as you desire. Join together. I have decided to follow. Let's make it a prayer of our own lives before the Lord. is of verse 3. It's a challenge of being a one to follow no matter what. Joining together reading, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you? Seated. Our guests are welcome to stay for the conference. If you wish to leave, you may, but it is a conference for those who are 18 years of age and older who are active members of our church. I'll call for Stephen, I believe, who is the chair, to please come and conduct our meeting at this time. Stephen? At the meeting tonight with our college ministry team, they will bless your hearts. They really, really will. So be out here at 6 o'clock. Just remind you, if you did not have your faith promise with you today, bring it this evening if all possible. And let's join together in singing the closing, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Let us stand together. Choral benediction, after which you are dismissed. Lord bless you till we meet again.